Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we dive into this passage and this topic, there is so much information, perhaps, that we think we know. But ultimately, we want to ground our decisions and our focus on what you have to say. And so would you help us to hear your truth through all of that and to guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this message is entitled Think Carefully. Believe me, I had no shortage of options when I sat down to think, what could I call this message? You want to hear some of the things that I did not use? So here's one I did not use. Roll with it. Here's another one I did not use, pipe dreams. Here's another one that I did not use, go higher. I don't want to communicate the wrong message, right? So go higher. And so I was starting to kind of, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of says, you know, you got to actually try to communicate something that actually ties to, not just, so weeding out the truth was really close. It was really close. And then also, please stay off the grass were some of the things that I was thinking. And as I mentioned, if you were here last week, I mentioned each week the music teams have the topic and the where we're headed to in advance. So I was really surprised that they didn't play "This Is the Air I Breathe" this morning, or "Lord, I Lift Your Name While High." Are you sufficiently distracted? Good. Instead, I landed on the much more communicable title of Think Carefully. And so it comes then to address the question, how do you make the decisions that you make? And if you're a parent, how do you model for and teach your children to make decisions? Because unfortunately, the truth is, if you think about it, too many families and individuals allow our culture to decide what is appropriate, acceptable, and permissible. So think carefully. When you decide what movies to watch or what video games to play, for many years, as parents or as an individual, you make those decisions based on the rating on the movie, on the game, or whatever. So if it's E, if it's G, if it's PG, if it's R, if it's M, and depending on what age you are, that's when you say, yeah, you can go see that, or you can't go see that, or whatever. Consider also that there are easily worked around age restrictions when it comes to being on the internet. We think, oh, you have to be a certain age to use certain programs or social media platforms or whatever. But those are easily worked around. And if you don't know it, your kids do. The minimum limits have become rights that we thrust on our children with little or no preparation. They have become almost entitlements to each plateau that we cross. We kind of default to what is permissible or legal or deemed by culture. We teach our kids to do the same. We're not actually then teaching them to think carefully. We're asking them to take a look around and see what everybody else says is okay, and then it must be okay for you. And I think we have to think carefully. For some of us, when it comes to maybe alcohol consumption, it seems easy. The government of Ontario says, hey, you have to be 19 years old to consume alcohol. That's the legal minimum age. No thought is necessary. I turn 19, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's my entitlement. Unless, of course, you're perhaps a high school student who all of a sudden figures that weekends and prom nights are acceptable places to drink excessively. Or what about the adults who look forward to a weekend where you can just overconsume and indulge because you deserve it? You deserve the break from reality. You have to be able to cope with the stress and the worry and the hardship of your life. And maybe then it's not so easy making all these choices. Maybe we need to recalibrate and learn how to think carefully. On October 17th of this year, upcoming in a couple of months, the recreational use of marijuana will be legal for people over the age of 18, and that number may differ from province to province. I'm not going to give you a seminar or workshop on all the details. They're readily available, and I suggest you use the Government of Canada website, not just Google, is marijuana good for you? The medicinal use of marijuana has been legal in our country since 2001. The difference between the two forms is that medicinal marijuana has the addictive element of THC removed or greatly diminished. It's prescribed in dose and duration by a doctor, and it serves to address a particular medical issue. There are now over 200,000 people who use medical marijuana in our country, which is up from just 30,000 4 years ago. Projections are that this is going to continue to rise. By comparison, think about this. Canadian research shows that 41% of adults have tried recreational marijuana at some point in their lives. Nationally, about 14%, or 4.2 million people age 15 or older, report some use of cannabis product, medical or non-medical, over the past 3 months, and that was at the beginning of this year, over the end of 2017, beginning of 2018. More than half of that 4.2 million indicated that they would use some form of cannabis either daily or weekly. That's over 2 million people, daily or weekly. Just over 20% of Canadians said they would likely try or increase their current usage come October 17th. I think that this requires some careful thought, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. So before we think about all that, let's consider what God might have to say. And if you're thinking, hey, God doesn't actually say anything about marijuana in the Bible, then you're right. And if that's where you're going to land and say, yeah, then that means I can do it, then that's a dangerous way to start thinking about things. But it's also true that the Bible has much to say about losing control of our capacity to think clearly, about being influenced by various elements that cloud or block or debilitate our capacity to reason well. How much marijuana does it take to become intoxicated? When it comes to alcohol, the distance between a disciplined and controlled moderation and then drunkenness differs based on a number of other factors, and it's beyond the scope of this morning. For marijuana, however, there's such a small, lower dose that is needed to induce a state of intoxication. Studies show that it's really approximately 4 puffs on a joint. That's not very much. THC is the addictive component, the component that gives you that high. In the 80s, when some of you who are thinking, yeah, this is good, tried this stuff. In the 80s, when you tried this stuff, that percentage was about 3%. Today, that percentage of THC in marijuana is about 15%. It's significantly higher. The addictive capacity of marijuana has changed significantly over the course of this time. CBD is the other element that's present in cannabis, and unlike THC, it does not produce the high or the intoxication. And so, as I mentioned, then it's for medical marijuana, the THC levels are either stripped out or greatly reduced. So whether it's alcohol or social media or pornography or gluttony or gossiping or television or cell phones, we're all prone to excess. We're all prone to indulgence. We're all prone to overconsumption, distraction, and unhealthy dependence. The difference when it comes to recreational marijuana is that the addictive element of THC brings significant impairment in such a much shorter time. I was 13 years old when my first joint was offered to me. That's happening at a much younger age now. And if our kids aren't using marijuana, they certainly know, if they wanted to, where it can be obtained. The question for us today is to ask, does God have anything to say about these issues? The good news is, the reassuring news is, the encouraging news is, I believe that he does. I believe that that news could be summarized in this way. Think carefully about honoring God with your choices. Think carefully about honoring God with your choices. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians here in chapter 5, uses four simple contrasts to make his point about the characteristics and the benefits of living a life that honors God. And so as we consider this bigger topic of marijuana, I think the principles that we're going to be looking at, they relate to many different areas. And so if you're thinking this morning, well, this has nothing to do with me, know this, that we all have something that can hook us. And so it's so important to learn how to think carefully and to help each other think carefully about the decisions that we make. So let's think carefully about consumption. The first area is to examine your desire. You know, next slide there. Examine your desire. Motive is so important here. Paul says, be very careful how you live. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Motive is a measure of our pride. Give careful thought. Think circumspectly, some of your versions of the Bible say. Pay attention to the choices that you are making about the way that you live. It's not just about the outcome, but the way in which we arrive at that outcome. That's where motive comes in. If you look back just a little bit in chapter 4, starting in verse 17 and going down, Paul tells you all of this. He says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding. They have lost all sensitivity. Those kinds of things are the things that Paul mentions over and over before he gets to this passage that we're in. Paul is challenging our capacity to think. And he's hammering it home here in chapter 5. Now, let me tell you something. Nobody ever deliberately sets out to destroy their lives. Hardly anybody ever sets out to destroy their chances, their relationships, their future, or themselves. It's often the accumulation of small decisions away from the truth of God that lead us to places from which it might be difficult to return, particularly when you battle the addictive nature of alcohol and pornography, of gambling, of laziness, of gluttony, and in this case that we're talking about today, drugs like marijuana. The distance between curiosity and a little bit of fun, and the grip of addiction is very small, and not everyone is able to make that distinction. The distance between sobriety, being clear-minded, and intoxication decreases dramatically with each sip, each view, each bet, each puff. Make no mistake that that distance will never exist if the first one is never taken. Too often, we try to figure out how close to the line we can get. And unfortunately, very few of us can rarely avoid crossing our own blurry gray line, particularly when you factor in stress, peer pressure, worry, anger, discontentment, and all those other things into the equation. One website that I looked up in the process of doing this in order to purchase marijuana seeds. I didn't actually make the purchase, just putting that out there. One website that sells marijuana seeds has this to say in terms of making the distinction between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. The question is, and the frequently asked question is, should I buy medical marijuana or recreational marijuana? So this is a seller of this stuff, and here's what they say. Their answer is, it depends on your preference. If you have a condition that marijuana can help you with, then you should go for medical marijuana. But if you're only after the high, then you go for the recreational marijuana with the higher THC content. So if the sellers of this product understand the damage that it can do and understand the addictive nature of it, then how much more should we, as those who commissioned by God to give careful thought to our ways, how much more should we be giving consideration to these things? And he asks us to do the exact same thing. The second thing about thinking carefully about consumption is developing a biblical framework. Develop a biblical framework. Paul is, as he makes this contrast, he says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Build a biblical framework. From a biblical perspective, a fool is someone who resists or denies God's authority in their lives. The person of understanding is one who seeks to grab hold of God's truth and uses that truth as a filter for their decision making. Paul here in just a little bit earlier in chapter 5 and verse 3, he says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Not even a hint, Paul says. Therefore, if this is what God is saying, does my indulgence, does my consumption, does my habit enhance the building of this framework? Does this make this framework credible? Does it fit within it? And if it doesn't, then should I be doing it? And what also, the other question that we need to ask within, in terms of setting up a biblical framework, what also can we expect if we make choices that move outside of the biblical framework? And 1 Peter chapter 5 answers that for us. In 1 Peter he says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Our choices to step outside God's biblical framework place us into a position where we are becoming prey to the evil one. And so it should not be a surprise. That's how those small decisions away from God's truth begin to accumulate and move us to a place of where almost our path is darkened as we look back to try to find it there. Jesus reminds us to count the cost, to think beyond the immediate moment. And so what are some of those costs when it comes to this topic in particular of marijuana consumption, recreational marijuana? Well, consider some of the short-term costs. Within 30 minutes to 24 hours, here's some of the short-term costs of recreational marijuana: confusion, impaired ability to remember, concentrate, pay attention, anxiety, fear, and panic. And those can last up to a full day. But if you're using regularly, then it can lead to more significant long-term effects. Well, what are some of those long-term effects? And by the way, this isn't coming from a Christian perspective. This is actually on the Government of Canada website. If you want to go to the Government of Canada website and look up about cannabis, all this information is there. Think carefully about the long-term negative effects of recreational marijuana. Effects to your memory, to concentration, to your intelligence, affecting your ability to think and make decisions. And it also doesn't include the other host of health risks involved, which are similar to smoking tobacco. Focus on the Family Canada President Terrence Ralston also says this: is marijuana harmful to everyone who uses it? No, but it's at its highest risk for youth and for those who form a dependency on the THC contained in recreational cannabis. Cannabis has proven harmful long-term effects on mental, emotional, and physical well-being. As such, it's vital to approach it from a holistic perspective, just as we would with any other substance, whether it's alcohol or junk food or anything else we might put into our bodies that might potentially harm our overall health. And yet, the government of Canada is deeming these risks as acceptable and making this product accessible for your family, your neighborhood, and mine across this country. And a thinking person needs to ask themselves, why? Why, if they know all of this, are they doing it? 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are permissible, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. I think that the government of Canada, whom I respect, have counted the costs and have recognized the cost. There is a significant boatload of cash to be made in this industry, billions and billions of dollars. And they are now saying they will deal with the implications and the repercussions and the consequences of increased use across our country if it means more money in government pockets. It is not all of a sudden for those of us who have been through school, including our graduating grade 12s this year, who have been taught all through school, this stuff is wrong, just say no. It's not that it's all of a sudden okay. But the danger is, without thinking carefully, because of the increased access, that it becomes acceptable. And so it must be okay because everybody's doing it, and it's not illegal anymore. If your criteria is what's legal and what's illegal, then you're not thinking. You have to keep thinking. And they're making these decisions even despite the evidence of personal harm and the rise of social harm in the various states in the U.S. that have legalized recreational marijuana over these last 5 years. Because the money is worth it. It is billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they want in on the action. And the lie that you will hear is that it will eliminate the black market on the recreational marijuana. But that's just not true. Because the black market won't tax you like the government's going to tax this. The third thing to, in terms of thinking carefully about consumption, is consider your consumption pattern. In this instance, Paul is contrasting the idea of excessive indulgence, being out of control, being impaired, being unable to think clearly, or debauchery as it's translated in the NIV. He's comparing that to being filled with the Spirit. It's a description of a life in terms of this debauchery, this being out of control, this drunkenness. It's a picture of a life that is abandoned and sinfully indulgent, affected to the point where physical and mental control is diminished. Instead, Paul urges, be filled with the Spirit of God. The picture is one of continual practice of seeking wholeness and completeness time after time and after time from God Himself. It causes us to ask this question, I think, at least for me. It causes me to ask, why am I making the choice that I'm making in consideration of whatever substance it is that's before me? Is it for me? Is it my desire to escape reality, to not deal with things? Is it because others are doing it? Am I seeking some kind of relief from pressure or stress? And if this is the case, and the bottom line is, then that using recreational marijuana for that purpose would be considered a sin, in my opinion. And here's the reason why, because the idea of wholeness and peace and peace within our soul is offered first and foremost by God himself. To seek temporary solutions that inhibit, restrict, or distract us from the capacity to process information and to grow closer to God can also contribute to long-term cognitive damage, can become addictive, and lead us into further sin. So we need to consider our consumption patterns and correlate that more to how do I fuel, how do I strengthen, how do I meet or continue to develop my relationship with God. The fourth thing, the last thing to consider about thinking carefully is evaluate your relationships. Evaluate your relationships. What does this choice reveal about me? Who do I think I am that I need this? If your choice to use recreational marijuana, what does it say about how you feel about yourselves? It concerns me when people pour themselves intentionally into damaging these damaging habits. Yet many of them think that they have no value of themselves. They have a low view of themselves. They fail to understand how God says, even just a few pages before in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says to you that you are my workmanship. We just loved, we applauded that picture of that baby just a few minutes ago. We love the idea that God has made things special. That doesn't change as you get older. You're not quite as cute as you were then. You're not quite as cute as you were then. But you are still God's special handiwork, uniquely created for his purpose to be lived out through your life. And there's no greater position in all of the world than that. And we need to be able to remind people of that, because people struggle so much with how they feel about themselves. They don't understand. They lose track of God's voice and God's measure of who they are and who they are able to be by his help. Sin changes the way we view ourselves, it changes the way we view others, and it changes the way we view God and prevents us from experiencing the strength and the power which God desires to infuse our lives with. Which brings us to the second question that we have to ask ourselves about relationships as we evaluate them. What does this choice reveal about my relationship with God? Our relationship with God ought to be one that is consistently being renewed so that we fill up and overflow towards others, spilling out with love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. We need to give evidence of the Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul gives us this prayer, this example, this prayer of this desire to be filled with God's power, right? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What an awesome prayer that Paul prays on behalf of his brothers and sisters, and we ought to be praying that same prayer for ourselves, for our families, for our church family. God doesn't desire for us to limp along in mediocrity. God desires to infuse our lives with his strength and with his power. Everyone is looking for significance. Everybody wants to be part of something that is bigger than themselves. They want to know that they can make a difference. And you know what's really awesome is God understands that. And he says that by my Spirit, as you are filled with my Spirit, you can participate in that. And so we must continue to believe that the best is possible with every single person that we meet, no matter where we find them in the present time. Because God's never done with us. And so if we make a mistake, if we fall into sin, if we get down that path where we can't seem like we see God, here's a great reminder that God is with us, even when we can't see Him. The third question that we need to ask as we evaluate our relationships, not just what does this reveal about me and what does it reveal about God, but what does this choice, if I make this choice, what does it reveal about my relationship with others? Do you consider as you do these, as you involve yourself in various activities, do you consider the impact on others because of the choices that you make? Here are three words, or I don't know if there are three. Here's some words that Jesus never said. I just need to do this for me. That's not three. Jesus never said, I just need to do this for me. I deserve this. That's three. Jesus never said, I deserve this. Or it's just a little bit. Or what harm can it do? Freedom is often the word that we hear in response when I have these discussions with people. I am free to do what I want. Freedom is the cry of those who want to indulge. However, thinking carefully, developing a biblical framework, considering all our relationships means understanding that freedom is a choice. You're going to be tied to something. And so what are you tied to? What is calling your attention? Just because we are free to do something doesn't make it permissible. Just because we are free to do something doesn't make it beneficial. Paul says that repeatedly. Peter also echoes those things. Just because we are free doesn't make it a good example to others. If we think of freedom as a prideful right to do what we want, then we abuse the grace of God, which is also sin. Just because something is permissible doesn't make it beneficial, particularly for the greater cause of the kingdom of God. How do our choices demonstrate that we are on God's side? I am free to choose, but I am not free to choose my consequences. And my concern for our children, for many of our adults, our children, our youth are not the only ones thinking about this. Adults, there are adults waiting for October 17th to happen. My concern is not just for you as your children or you as adults, but the community that I live in. I can get high walking to my house from here at night. But my concern is that cloud is just going to get bigger. That's hidden use in this neighborhood, in this community. That is concealed use. But what's going to happen 6 months from now, 8 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now? We have to be people who think carefully according to God's truth. And part of that also means thinking gracefully and engaging people in conversation. There's a great opportunity for us. Everybody's talking about this stuff. There's stuff written about it online. Don't post comments online. But have conversations, think it through, and let us pursue the fullness of the life that God desires for us. That in everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you this morning, we give you thanks for your patience with us. Thank you for your truth. Your truth is like a hammer. It smashes the hard places into pieces. And Father, this is a hard place in our society. This is going to be a roadblock in the eyes and the minds of many. And so as in all things, Father, may we first seek you and understand your heart. And would you help us then as we do to think carefully about the choices that we make, not just for ourselves and not even just for our kids or our neighbors as we model those choices to them, but Father, for the cause of your kingdom. In the midst of all of this, Father, would you rescue people? Would you help people to center themselves, center their minds on Jesus Christ, and to live their lives from that place? May we be people who are wise, who seek understanding. May we be people who desire to be filled with the Spirit and desire to be a blessing to others, all because of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.